Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 31.
People will not be able to believe this and I shall become an object of ridicule. Purport. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the personality of Godhead is of two different kinds. Aishvarya Purna, full of opulences, and Aishvarya Shitila, without opulence. Real love of Godhead begins with Aishvarya Shitila, simply on the basis of pure love. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema love want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shamasundara Muralidhara with a flute swaying in his two hands. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shamasundara, not as Lord Vishnu Narayana, who is worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavana platform, she is near the Vrindavana platform. On the Vrindavana platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda, and on the Mathura and Dwaraka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwaraka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of his opulence. But in Vrindavana, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son, Krishna, in that stage of love. And therefore, she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw his opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation of this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Manjayoga vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samasitaita brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fears in the transcendental world. However, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear, which is due to intense love. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamami Vijanati Yavaneshtasmi Tatvataha. But as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya, without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages called Guriputta, Pradhaniputta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, Arati, or Prema. That is simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called Manasvati. When one comes to the stage of Jnanamayi, one realizes the transcendental opulences of the personality of Godhead. But when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Rama. This is what is wanted. Especially in the Madhurya Rasa, one becomes attached to the personality of Godhead, Shivrikapa, Vigraha, Nishtarupadi. The loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begins. The special significance of Krishna's bearing a fruit in his hand in Vrajabhumi, Vrindavana is described as Madhuri Virajate. The form of the Lord with a fruit in his hand is most attractive, and the one who is most sublimely attractive is Srimati Radharani Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word Aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. This section is quite a paradox, because Devaki knows that Krishna is God, and she's afraid that something can happen to God. Which is, in some way, you can say, it was already expected. You can say, well, it's not logical. Because he's God. If he's God, in the prayers today, it's right that all the universe come in his form, as one of them realize, he might be killed by Kamsa. Doesn't seem very compatible, no? But as the same, and it's already been explained that actually it's due to Devaki's love for Krishna. Because her love is more stronger than her awe and reverence, you know, like she's more in she knows, yeah, Krishna is God. And then next moment she doesn't take it seriously.
Like same thing
Jagannath Mishra is having out that Krishna is God. I think he dreams. And Lord Chaitanya is God. And then he said, yeah, he might be God, he might not be God, but I have to educate this boy. It is God or not, he's not God, it's his problem. But he's my child, so I have to educate him. So devotees You can say from some perspective that these devotees are, they are in Maya. But of course, it's true, but it's not the same Maya we are in. You know, this is called the Yoga Maya, and this good Maya. Because the opulence of Krishna is somehow covered. The position of Krishna as with creator is everything. This is covered. So then there can be like relationship. Because you know, like if you think, oh, Krishna is the Lord of the whole universe, how can you have a close relationship with someone who is like Arjuna, who is like after he sees the universal form, he's like, oh my god, I was we had these friendly games, and sometimes I was calling you teeth, and I was pulling your leg, and then I found out you're going to go, okay. you cannot be buddies with God, you know, this huge personality. So this personality, they are a bit covered in that sense that they don't take this part that Krishna is God too seriously. They go, he's might be God, might not be God, but he's my child. Or he's my friend. I don't care. Like when they are playing games in Vrindavan, and then Krishna loses, because you know sometimes Krishna loses in these games. It's loving exchange. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. He's not so interested in winning all the time. And the coward boy says, okay, you lost, you have to carry this on your back, because that's the rule of the game. And then Krishna says, yeah, we can help you, but you know I'm God. Yeah. And then he shows them something, and they are like, okay, this time, well, next time if you lose, you have to carry it. So don't care about who you are. So more or less devotees, really advanced devotees, they don't care that Krishna is God, because they love him so much. Of course, this is as you saw in Bhaktiananda Tirtha Maharaj sometimes like to say, he says something like this, and then he says, not to be imitated. So for us, it's good to remember that Krishna is God. But the same principle, in some way, we can apply in our life, because I was thinking, okay, how can we apply this in our lives? You know? So for example, we have to take this here. So we find out from the Shastras that Panchatattva deities we have here, they are not different from Panchatattva. So we have here Lord Chaitanya, who is God. Yeah. And every day God needs Panchatattva, they eat five times, I think. So, yeah, they have to eat something. And someone who is advanced enough, they will think, they will not think, oh, this Panchatattva, they are God, so, yeah, that's their problem. They have all the food in the universe, so they should somehow manage. They think, oh, if I don't bring them something for breakfast, they will starve. Huh? That's how an advanced devotee will think, oh, this Panchatattva, I have to take care of them, because who else can take care of them? Which is, you know, it's not logical, but at the same time, Krishna puts himself in this position that he is dependent on the devotees. They're like, okay, if they don't give me anything to eat, I will starve. Will Krishna starve? No, of course not. But he gives us this opportunity that he puts us in. That, and this is just to, he expects this, some service from us. Not only some service, but also because he wants to extract some love, some feeling, some appreciation. Oh, I have to really take care of these deities, because, yeah. And then you serve them. Because if you would know all this, if you had the team's mindset, oh, Panchatattva, the creators, Lord Chaitanya is same as Krishna, created of the whole universe, and he is in charge of all the energies. So he will figure it out. He will eat something. No problem. He doesn't need to. Then there is no opportunity for service. But what he needs for service. But at the same time, you should think, oh, look, they should eat something for lunch also. And the devotees should eat something. That's true. But maybe the Panchatattva should eat something before the devotees. So that's one way I was thinking. We can apply the same thing. And also it applies to the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So we hear from that there's some prediction that this mission will spread all over the world. And because this is the prediction of Lord Chaitanya, I can say, yeah, it's gonna be happen somehow. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya should do it somehow. It's his problem. No, because I mean he's God, I'm a tiny jiva. What can I do? He's God, it's his problem. And if you're more advanced, the mentality should be, no, I should do something for this. Of course, in some logical way we can say they understand that we are given an opportunity to participate in his mission, and that actually Krishna doesn't need that we participate in his mission. But at the same time, he gives there's also this principle that Krishna responds to the desires of his devotees. If the devotees have some desire, some strong desire, okay, we want to expand Krishna consciousness in Slovenia, and everyone should be Krishna conscious, then Krishna might respond. If there's not so much strong desire, then he will respond. Or, of course, because he's independent, he might do it anyway, because he's independent. But he does respond to the desires of devotees. And so our mindset, we should be concerned, you know, like, how is Krishna's mission going to expand? Even if Krishna is God and it's his mission and he is behind and it's not in our area of itself, what can we do actually? We can just desire. But this should be our mentality. How can this Krishna consciousness mission expand? Now we're preparing for this Padayatra program, which is a form to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. And we're thinking, how can we improve our harina? How can we make it more attractive for people that they get a spiritual experience and then maybe they become devotees? And usually when we think of improving harinams, first things that come, yeah, we need flex. Yes, flex. Flex are missing. And we need a Maha Mantra banner. Yes. And then we need the t-shirts. Everyone has to wear the same t-shirt. Same color of t-shirt. Okay, and they need nice dhotis that should be iron or saris, you know, like, yes. And then you need a better midanga. And then you need harmony, and you need, and then our harinam will be better. And that's all truth. I mean, that's all needed. It's part of what, but actually more important than that is the purity, is the consciousness of the devotees who go out for sankirtan and for harinam. Because it can happen that all these are there, you know, like maybe probably they will not be, but and then you're going there and you're spacing out. And then, you have the perfect midanga, perfect
uniform. And you're spacing out. So nothing will happen.
Of course.
It's already good that you, something is happening. But you should always think, okay, how can you improve? And the whole idea, the point is that purity is the force. Srila Prabhupada insisted on this principle. For example, you have Lord Chaitanya's, I was reading Chaitanya Bhagavata, some biography of Lord Chaitanya, and there it's written that it's explained that when Lord Chaitanya would go out for Harinam, everyone would join. You know, like everyone. See, people on the streets, they would go, and even if they were atheistic or negatively inclined, they would be like, what's this stupid thing? 5 seconds, and then, like, what is this? And they would say something else, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute, and after 1 minute, they would say, okay. And they will just join, you know? Because this Harinam was so attractive, so impressive, that they would automatically join. They had no choice, they were finished. And there's this episode described in Chaitanya Charitamrita when the devotees from Bengal came first time to Jagannath Puri. King Pratapa Rudra asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to come and tell him about all the devotees that they have arrived. And King Pratapa Rudra was so impressed with the kirtan of these devotees. Like, wow, I've never seen something like this. Just read the comments. It says, this kirtan is so wonderful. Never before have I seen such wonderful dancing or heard such melodious chanting. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replies, this sweet transcendental sound is a special creation of the Lord, known as Prema Sankirtana, congregational chanting in the love of God. So, when King Pratapa Rudra saw this, he thought, oh, this is some completely something different. So Srila Prabhupada comments here that there's many musical groups that many people, actually there's even many people who chant Hare Krishna. Nowadays it's or some names of Krishna. But their chanting is not as attractive as the chanting of devotees. That's the key ingredient. Another similar incident. Some devotees were distributing books, and they were asked to do some sankirtan seminar. No, like, okay, these devotees know how to distribute books. We'll invite them to our temples and we'll learn from them. And they were talking about this with Srila Prabhupada, and they said that before you can take any techniques, first you must follow the principles and study the books. And they said, look, it's not about the technique. You can learn techniques. That's good. It's not bad if you know some techniques. Hi, flatter people. Yes, you're such a nice person. Wow. So these shoes, wow, amazing. Yeah, that's good. But the most important is purity. Is that we really follow. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is a real technique. Our only technique is to be very devout followers of the rules. So, of course, when you talk about studying the books, you don't just talk about studying the life from an academic perspective. You talk about studying the books and the applying, you know, because what's the point if you can quote some shastra, you're like, Bhagavanu vacha, and then you're in a practical situation, you have no idea what to do. Or even if you have an idea what to do, you don't do it.
So what's the point, you know, like of studying it? So So actually studying the Shastra means that every moment we are thinking, what would Srila Prabhupada want me to do in this moment? Every practical decision you'll think, oh, okay, should I wear this t-shirt or that t-shirt? You think, what would Srila Prabhupada want me to do? Oh, I like this Rock is not dead t-shirt. It's my favorite. I have it since high school, and it's signed by this lead singer from Metallica. And I have this t-shirt with Lord Chaitanya. Which one should I wear? Like, so then you think, oh, maybe Srila Prabhupada wants me to have this t-shirt with Lord Chaitanya. Maybe I heard he doesn't like rock so much. Okay. So anyway, so that's the point, that we should think in whatever actions we do, what would Srila Prabhupada want us to do, and try to do that, you know. And somehow related, I was watching this seminar by Navinani Radha Prabhu. And it's really a good seminar, because usually when on Sankirtan, because usually when people hear, okay, I want to learn how to do Sankirtan, they're thinking, okay, what do I say? How do I stop people, and what do I say? Now, this is first thing, you know, like everyone thinks like that, oh, that this is Sankirtan. And then he has a seminar, and he starts with really things which are about the mindset behind. And one real nice part is, like, he is called character of an ISKCON representative. So, like, what? This might come as a shock, you know, like when you want to hear what you tell people and how you stop them, and then first thing they tell you, like, okay, first you have to understand that you are representing ISKCON. Oh my God, really? So this doesn't apply only for Sankirtan. It applies for Harinam, for many things. You know, like, as long as you, like, especially if you're going in Harinam and you do something, they will not think, oh, this he had a bad day. This he was like, he's new here. No, he will think, oh, this is what they do, the Hare Krishnas. They whatever you do is giving them an impression. So they will think, oh, these Hare Krishnas are like that. So this is. So they will have an opinion about Srila Prabhupada, about Srila Rupa Goswami, about Lord Chaitanya, based on you. Which is like, oh, you think, oh my God, this is crazy, you know? Because, I mean, if you're a bit honest, probably you'll think, I'm not on the level of Lord Chaitanya, of Srila Rupa Goswami, of Srila Prabhupada. And this is not meant to put too much stress on us, you know, like, like, oh my God, I'm not going anymore. It's finished. But it should make us very responsible to think that, look, people are thinking of our actions, and they relate Srila Prabhupada with us. You know, so what they see in us, that's what they will think about Srila Prabhupada. I'll give you an example. And sometimes, you know, like, you think that it's not going to, there's nothing, but I met this person. I was in Vir, in this shopping center, and I met this person, and he was like 30 or 40, and he told me, no, I don't want to have anything to do with these books. I was like, why? No, because when I was young, I was in school, and these devotees tricked me that I need to buy these books by telling me that I need them in school. So after 20 years, I mean 20 years, it looked like 20 years, this guy remembered, these devotees. You know, like, so that's like quite sometimes it's like that. Of course, there's always other factors. But, yeah, the whole point is that when we go for Harinam Sankirtan, we are representing Srila Prabhupada. And when we're representing Srila Prabhupada, we have to consciously think what Srila Prabhupada wants me to do. So there's, because I talk too much, I'll just give two main points for Harinam. One point for Harinam, one good question is like, who is the enjoyer? That's a very important question. You know, like, think, okay, we're gonna go for Harinam and have some fun. Yes. But who is having fun in Harinam? Krishna. According to our philosophy, Krishna is the enjoyer. Krishna should have fun. And according to our philosophy, if Krishna is having fun, everyone is having fun. So the way to have real fun is that you make Krishna have fun. So Krishna has to enjoy. Whatever we do should be in some way that is pleasing for Krishna. We should, maybe we feel like singing a rock tune. But maybe Krishna, if Krishna doesn't like it, we'll think, oh, maybe he likes more this sweet tune. For example, there's many, many, many things we have to do, but this is the general mindset. And second good question in Harinam is, who is the main actor? What's the most important? Who is the main show on the first main event? And you can say the lead singer, the mridanga, the kartas, the flags. And the right answer is
Krishna.
Krishna, yes, Krishna in the form of Mahamantra. So the most important in Harinam is the Mahamantra. So that's why there's so many. I was reading this. I don't have time. So I was reading this Harinam Sankirtan guideline, and there's so many auxiliary guidelines which start from that. You know that okay, it's important that we chant Hare Krishna. So that's why in temple kirtan, as I said last time, in temple kirtan we don't use harmony because in kirtan, not in bhajan, because it might the consciousness goes away from the maha mantra. The voice should be audible. You should hear the voice, and that's why the mridanga should not be louder than the voice. Because if the mridanga is louder than the voice, you don't hear the maha mantra anymore. There's no more chanting Hare Krishna. You're like putting the maha mantra like backstage. Like Madhava Mishra told me that the sound engineer from Indra Prabhu told him that you have to have maha mantra, you have the voice, and half of that mridanga, and half of that everything else. I remember. that's the protocol. Why? Because people have to hear the Maha Mantra. So that's many things which are related to this. That you know, if someone is trying to sing in a sweet voice, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you just learned some mridanga beats like, you know, and you don't push, you know, like sometimes this devotee is trying to sing very very slow, and these cartas like, let's go, and it's like, Hare Krishna, and then Karta is like, chum, 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 chum. So, yeah. Anyway, that's just some points, but that's some good things, some main principles to remember is one, the main enjoyer is Krishna. So if we really want to enjoy, we have to make Krishna enjoy. And the second thing is, in Harinam, the most important thing is Maha Mantra. That's why even we, sometimes we don't sing complicated tunes. You're a lead and you learn some very nice tune you like, you know, and you sing it and you see, oh, this guy, nobody can follow because it's like, and then what's the point, because there's no more congregational chanting, you know, like. Anyway, just some points. Okay, I'll stop here if there are some concerns, questions. Ten seconds. You have 10 seconds for questions. Okay. Why do we have accordion? Well, there's different philosophies between kirtan in the temple and kirtan on the street. You know, kirtan in the temple is usually sweet, and usually should be more. And on the street, we do some things that should attract people also. But the whole idea is that still we should. It's good that we have accordion, but we should have the. That's why we have microphones. I mean, in center of Ljubljana, you can do. It's more complicated, but the voice should still be audible, you know, like, because the people will not get so much benefit from hearing the accordion as they will get from hearing the Maha Mantra. So, if that's not the case, then something, you know, like, we can do something, like how to amplify the voice that we. The people hear the Maha Mantra. So, yeah. Usually we have microphones, and in the center we had like a few devotees singing together. That's the general principle, that even on the street, you know, like, you can have these instruments, that instruments, you have loud music, but the voice should be louder. That they hear some Hare Krishna. Well, in kirtan there is no harmony, so then problem is solved. I don't know, in bhajan, I'm not sure if that was the, there's so much rules on this part, but the, I mean, Madhav, according to what it should be, but the main point is that it's not louder than the voice. My understanding is that it shouldn't be, at least it should not be louder than the voice. The voice should be audible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. You mentioned twice flex. What is that?
Flag.
This
flag. Animal. Ah, no flex. Okay.
Flag. Yeah. That's nice. There's some quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. See, when look in the picture, they have flags. And Srila Prabhupada, there's some it's some part in from Chaitanya Charitamrita where it's explained how they would go for Harinam and they had flags and this. And Srila Prabhupada says, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, have flags. You have, you know, like, and also. I mean, probably at that point they didn't need a banner with the Maha Mantra because people knew the Maha Mantra. But because one of the outcomes of Harinam is that we want people to learn the Maha Mantra and chant. So it's good if you have a banner. We're gonna have one for Padayatra. It's like a banner with the Maha Mantra. If you don't know the text, here it is. No excuses. So, yeah.
So, and I wanted to, I don't know, to ask, if we are very conscious, like you suggested to be in Harinams, I think Krishna is reciprocating with us, giving us some nectar. I think it's beyond the to be conscious, to be very in our mind, or I don't know. This is beyond, and this is about feeling and emotions and drops of, I don't know. So, am I wrong?
No, it's not that. When we're saying that Krishna is the enjoyer, we're not saying, oh, if you feel some happiness, you're going to hell. No, we're saying that you should act in such a way that there's Krishna will enjoy, and then actually you'll enjoy more. Sometimes I had this experience. I was in Sankirtan and I was trying to distribute some books and I was like, oh my God, I mean, nobody stopped and so on. And I was really trying, but they didn't stop. And then suddenly I felt this happiness, you know, like, well, I just had no exterior reason. Because if you try to please Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate and he will give you this happiness that you never experienced, you know, like, wow, this is far out. But yeah, I'm not saying that you should not enjoy and that you'll not enjoy.
Yeah, when you have these drops, ecstasy from Krishna, you have this tendency to show it somehow, to you are overflowed with these things and you are doing maybe things which are not so, I don't know, controllable or... How to say?
Well, if it's really from that place, it's okay. If it's from some other place, then yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Thank you.
Tihomir had some.
Just a short question. So in Kirtan, in temple, we should have only traditional instrument, mridanga and karatans, and nothing else.
Yes. Kirtan means arti.
Okay, yes.
Kirtan means...
And not other rhythmic instrument, just mridanga and karatans.
Yeah, usually. I mean, what others? You have to see if it distracts. The principle is that it doesn't distract, you know, like that you don't put the consciousness somewhere else, you know, like. Okay. And also sometimes you have these wumpers where devotees have some which are hidden somehow, which is good. Because sometimes we're so in ecstasy that we feel that we have to bump the wumpers like boom. You know, like, and we should chant in such a way that we still hear the Maha Mantra and that there's some rhythm. See, they have some wumpers, but probably they are not just smashing them. And, yeah, other. I mean, is it wrong? Yeah, but usually it's Karta Samridanga, as far as I understand. Yeah. Okay. Let's stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.